Hello and welcome back to Doc Talk. In recent years, the acknowledgement of cardiac involvement in patients with sarcoidosis has become increasingly prevalent. Thanks to advanced screening techniques, new research has suggested that approximately 2-5% of patients with sarcoidosis also struggle with cardiac sarcoidosis. However, the practice of adding echocardiography and ambulatory ECG to standard screening with the intention of identifying cardiac sarcoidosis has been deemed controversial by some researchers. Additionally, previous analyses of different screening approaches have been limited by small patient numbers, selection bias, and inconsistent use of echocardiographic parameters such as global longitudinal strain. For this episode of Doc Talk, Dr. Dan Culver, chair of the Department of Pulmonary Medicine at the Cleveland Clinic, spoke of how patients develop cardiac sarcoidosis and why periodic screening could prove beneficial for these patients. He also touches on preliminary data from an interim analysis of enhanced screening strategies in unselected sarcoidosis patients, which was presented this month at the American Thoracic Society 2022 International Conference. So I'd like to start off, if you don't mind, I would like to quote a part of your abstract, just get things going. It says, in patients with sarcoidosis, the incremental value of adding echocardiography and or ambulatory ECG to standard screening with ECG and symptom assessment to identify cardiac sarcoidosis is controversial. I was hoping you could maybe talk a bit about why this practice is deemed controversial and maybe the reasons why it hasn't been approached and the limitations associated with it.
Sure. Thanks for the question. Cardiac sarcoidosis is really increasingly recognized now. Historically, we have thought that between 2-5% of people with sarcoidosis would have cardiac involvement. And I think that's still true if you talk about overt cardiac involvement. But with the advent of modern screening tools like a cardiac MRI, and more awareness about the presence of sarcoidosis among cardiologists, we're really seeing what might be deemed an epidemic of cardiac sarcoidosis. The numbers nowadays with advanced screening techniques suggest that around 25% of people with sarcoidosis could have evidence of cardiac sarcoidosis. And so you can see right away that there's a discrepancy between what you can find with an advanced imaging technique and what you see clinically. This raises the question of how much should you look, when do you look, and in whom should you look to try to find cardiac sarcoidosis? And this gets us to the original question of how do you screen for cardiac sarcoidosis?
How did this study maybe answer those questions? Who were you screening? How were you going about it? Could you maybe talk about the structure?
Traditionally, the recommendations in the 1999 ATS-ERS WASOG guidelines or statement and the updated 2020 ATS guidelines on detection of sarcoidosis have suggested that history alone, as well as a baseline EKG, is adequate for screening. In practice, I think that's what many centers have done. With understanding that there's more sarcoidosis than is being seen, that we only notice the tip of the iceberg, some groups have advocated for more intense screening techniques. There are some retrospective studies that have looked at echocardiography or ambulatory EKG, such as Holter monitor, and seen that there is a slice of patients that can be picked up using those techniques that aren't picked up using history or EKG alone. And in fact, the Heart Rhythm Society guidelines suggested that echocardiography could be part of the screening technique. That was controversial at the time, and I think it remains controversial. But in fact, many institutions have incorporated routine echocardiography or routine ambulatory EKG in for all their sarcoidosis patients. So the genesis of this study was really the question, is this a useful methodology? Is this a useful strategy? Or are we just spending a lot of money in finding things that aren't necessarily clinically very relevant? And to have a screening technique validated, we have to be able to show that we can pick up clinically important disease and make a difference in the outcomes to patients by implementing that screening technique. Otherwise, we're just wasting money, putting patients through a lot of tests, and finding things that don't necessarily change their long-term outcome.
And with that in mind, do you think that this study was successful in proving that this technology should be used in these patients? What were the key findings of the study?
This abstract reports preliminary data on an interim analysis of baseline edition of echocardiography and Holter monitor or Zio patch ambulatory EKG. So this is not the final conclusion of the study, but the preliminary data suggests that adding echocardiography and ambulatory EKG to conventional techniques in patients without obvious cardiac sarcoidosis at the outset. I think that's important to stress. The population we're looking at is patients who don't have obvious cardiac involvement at the outset. In those patients, adding these two other technologies really resulted in no additional identification of cardiac sarcoidosis. So out of 225 patients, only one in the standard screening arm and one in the enhanced screening arm were diagnosed with cardiac sarcoidosis at the time of their initial evaluation. We do have a follow-up period of 2 years, and we will repeat the tests for those in the enhanced screening arm to see if more patients are picked up. But I think the bottom line on this preliminary look is that echocardiography and ambulatory EKG don't add anything to conventional screening with symptoms and baseline EKG.
I think in the abstract, you also wrote that, you know, despite the findings of this preliminary study, it's important to have longer and larger studies. What differences would you like to account for? I know that there is certain data that suggests that sarcoidosis is more prevalent in African-American communities. Do you think that that is something that you would maybe want to incorporate further into this longer study?
The longer study really asks the question of whether or not screening should be done on a periodic basis rather than only at baseline. It also gives us the chance to see how many patients develop cardiac sarcoidosis overtly over a 24-month period in a group of patients that are being followed closely in these expert centers. So we will try to address those two questions with the longer study. In terms of the demographics of disease, you're absolutely correct. It's more common in Black patients than it is in white patients. For cardiac disease, that's not quite as evident. And in fact, there are some studies suggesting that cardiac involvement in sarcoidosis may be more common in white males rather than Blacks and females, which are the demographic preponderances for sarcoidosis in general. I think that some of the epidemiologic data are still pending, but that's an interesting difference from other forms of sarcoidosis. I think this is the sort of study that really is important to do because it has very practical implications for how we treat patients on a day-to-day basis. But this is also the kind of study that can't be possible without funding from organizations outside of conventional funding like NIH. This is where Foundation for Sarcoidosis Research has really stepped up to the plate by providing funding for a study that otherwise wouldn't be funded and yet is very, very important to patients. So I think that studies like this and organizations like this really should be supported. And I applaud the Foundation for Sarcoidosis Research and their Clinical Studies Network for taking this on and answering an important question in the field.
We'd like to thank Dr. Dan Culver for joining the program. And thank you so much for listening. If you want more rare disease news, make sure to follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. We'll be back next week with a new episode of Doc Talk. Until then, stay safe and stay healthy.